It's time for What's Up with Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Dr. Shane Reti.
Morena, Dr. Reti, how are you?
Morena, Rachel. Good to speak with you. Very good, thank you.
Good to speak with you too. We're going to talk about Scott Morrison's visit to Aotearoa today. We're also going to chat a little bit about Nick Smith's retirement and get your thoughts on the budget as well, because we haven't had a chance to sound that out with you yet. So let's start with Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison's visit to Aotearoa. He's been meeting with the government, and high on the agenda is our relationship with China, the travel bubble, and also supporting vaccination in the Pacific. Now, do you think these are the most important issues that we could be focusing on in our relationship with Australia at the moment?
Look, I think they are important issues. Whether they're most important would depend across a range of items of interest that we would want to discuss with Australia. I understand that Judith met with the Prime Minister as well and described a very good conversation across a range of topics. Look, the items that you've mentioned are important. We need to each respect the individual sovereignty that we each have, and the ability for each sovereign state to make decisions. But Australia has also been a very dear and close partner over many, many years. And so how we can work best together is in the mutual interests of both countries. And that's what we should be seeking to achieve.
Now, the idea of sovereignty has actually come up with this conversation around China as well. Scott Morrison has said that New Zealand and Australia are very closely aligned in our policies towards China. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do. I think there are clearly some differences, and that's what the ability to be a sovereign state and chart your own course lets you do. But we've always tried to hunt together on a wide range of things because it is in our mutual interests. And I think there are probably more similarities than differences in our joint foreign affairs and foreign trade stances and positions at the moment. There's more similarities than differences.
One of the things that's been a big tension, I guess, leading up to this, and in the last year, I mean, it goes back historically a long time, but we've seen it flare up in the media a lot, is our relationship around the deportations of people for criminal and character-based deportations from Australia to New Zealand. There's been a lot of protests from New Zealand around this, and we haven't seen any change in Australia's policy. How does the National Party feel about this?
So we understand the challenges with the 501 deportees, but I think fundamentally we have to respect the right of a sovereign nation to make a sovereign judgment. And it's for us then to try and persuade and present alternative views. But at the end of the day, that sovereign state can make sovereign judgment, just like we expect our sovereign judgments to be respected as well.
This has been an ongoing conversation, though, for quite some time between the two countries. Do you think we should be seeing perhaps more collaboration on this at this point?
Look, I think it should be on the discussion table most of the time. I think that there might be ways to mitigate the concerns of both countries on this particular issue. I come back to the point that Australia is a sovereign state and can make sovereign judgment, but however we can work with them to find what would seem to be maybe a better outcome than what we're getting at the moment. That's the sort of discussions we should be having.
Another long conversation that's been going on between New Zealand and Australia is our relationship around refugees. Does the National Party support the government's offer to resettle 150 refugees from offshore detention centres?
So this is something the government needs to be more transparent with. We need to see the details. We need to see what circumstances any refugees might have coming into New Zealand, how that affects our overall intake, if you like, of refugees. I think there's a lot more details we'd want to see before we take a firm position on that. We understand the need, of course, but we need to see the details as to what that means for our wider refugee repatriation program.
That was something that John Key, as Prime Minister, I think it was in about 2013, was quite keen on, was that 150 number. And it's been something that this Labor government has picked up again. Has the National Party's position changed at all over that time? As you say, you want more details, but what would those details look like?
Oh, those details would be in our overall quota of refugees that we're anticipating that we take each year. Is this on top of that, or is that inclusive of that? What is our ability in country to accommodate and assimilate that number of refugees? That's the sort of details we'd need to make before we could reaffirm a position.
All right, well, let's talk about Nick Smith's retirement now from the National Party. 30 years that he's been in Parliament, and he has resigned in the wake of an ongoing investigation into a verbal altercation, is the quote. On a broader scale, we've also heard over the last couple of years about this prevalent culture of bullying in Parliament. As an MP, have you seen any evidence of a culture shift in the last, I guess, 18 months since we've seen these big reports into it?
Look, I think there has been a culture shift, maybe even more than in the past 18 months. I think the Francis report formalised the way the culture needs to shift in Parliament, and then individual parties forming their own internal codes of conduct. It's also a reflection of how better can we compose and manage ourselves in a reasonable way in what is a challenging and contentious environment. So yes, I have seen, well before 18 months actually, a change and shift, just like we've seen that same change and shift in society. So modelling society's change and changing views around bullying and the employer-employee relationship. I've seen Parliament and parliamentary services also mirror parts of that change that we're seeing in society, and I think that's a good thing.
Do you think there needs to be some more transparency about the processes that are being put in place to help enact that change? Because, you know, when some issues like bullying or harassment make their way into the media, it tends to really, you know, put a lot of people off the way that politics runs. Do you think this is something that we need to see a little bit more clarity, or just that level of transparency about to have people on board with this kind of process?
Look, I think it needs to mirror the same sort of processes that are in society, that are in community. And I think with something as formalised as the Francis Report, which couldn't have been more public, you are seeing transparency around what Parliament is looking to do and the goals that they're trying to achieve as that culture shift continues to shift towards where we want to get to. So I understand what you're saying, but if we are as transparent as society, then we're probably making a good step towards what might be a good outcome.
Do you think that the loss of Nick Smith is a blow to the National Party's environmental policies?
No, there are really good people in caucus who will be able to pick up the excellent work that Nick Smith has done, and he will be missed. You know, his contribution and service to New Zealand for 30 years is a substantial piece of work. And I've pondered on this when I look back over the time I've known Nick and think of the many, many things that he's done. I would have to say probably the creation of 17 marine reserves sticks in my mind as a really, really good piece of work. So undoubtedly, his knowledge and experience will be missed, but very reassured by the knowledge and a long-term history in this space with people like the Honourable Scott Simpson and others in caucus, who will then pick up what Nick transitions to them and keep running with it.
Well, let's talk about the budget now, because we haven't really had a chance to have a proper chat about it with you since it's been announced. What do you think are some of the major successes of this budget? Is there anything that sticks out to you as being something you're quite pleased to see happening with the way the government's planning their spending?
So look, generally disappointed in the budget. I'll come back to your question. Generally disappointed. This is not a pro-growth budget. It's hard to see a pathway to prosperity. It's hard to see a pathway for business, and particularly when we compare to the very recently announced pro-growth budget in Australia, where they're announcing tax cuts and R&D and substantial business investment. We have that comparison across the Tasman, and crikey, where are we in this space? To answer your question, are there any good parts? We understood the need to raise benefits, but you need to raise benefits when the cost of living are going up, when rents are going through the roof. Sort of what choice did you have than to raise the safety net? I think in my own domain in health, what I am very pleased about, and it was announced just before budget but came into this budget, is the HPV cervical screening for women. That was really important. It was actually important last budget, and I was disappointed it didn't make the budget bid, but I am very pleased and very, very supportive to see that. I think that will increase the pickup of cervical cancer in women. If we want to reduce inequities, particularly Māori inequities, there's a really strong program right there that will attend to that, and I think the sooner we can roll out HPV screening as a replacement for the papilloma smear for cervical cancer, then the better outcomes we're going to get. That was good. I really liked that.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Desi. It's always great to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks' time, and look forward to that conversation.
Kia pai tōrā, Rachel. Good to speak with you.
Kia pai tōrā.
That was What's Up with Deputy Leader of the Opposition, Dr. Shane Reti.